And we are back. This is your morning tradition, Mike and Lisa Austin, Monday, October the 5th. And we're on with Rita Davidson talking about her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, and the story and the trials and tribulations leading up to it. Well, leading up, it was very successful back in 2000, 2001. And,
right.
And then a couple of years ago came the devastating fire, as we've been keeping up with. And the strange snake stories and the digging through the rubble and the trying to persevere. I mean, if you think about it, as we welcome back Rita to the phone, or to Skype, if you think about it, if you have crosses to bear in your life, think of this. There's always someone else who's going from trailers to campsites to cabins to...
Exactly.
There's always someone who's struggling more. And so you were moving ahead with finding lodging, and all this time you still have to have a life. You still have sons who need care. You still have schooling to do. You still have shopping, clothing, food, toothbrushes, things.
Right.
I mean, how did you...
Must have been so disheveled.
Well, I'm trying to...
Oh, yeah.
Your faith, how did you hang on?
You know, the spiritual life is just like running yourself up the wrong way. You know, everything is like contrary to what we naturally do, mm-hmm. you know? So we're always going upstream against mm-hmm. everything. And so it would have been my husband, because he was always the better half of me, that basically said, but we got out alive and we have our boys. I always think that for the families that lose the child, I always think they are way stronger than me, because I can lose all of my belongings. But if I lost a child, I don't think I would be who I am today.
Right.
Maybe God knows that's my limit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we were very lucky.
Immodesty, Satan's Virtue is the book. Rita Davidson is the author. Little Flower Family Press is the website. It's a .com. And we're talking with Rita via Skype from Canada. The book was out. The book was issued. You could have bought the book back in 2000, in 2001, and then this fire hits. Everything's gone. Everything. Living in tents, living in cabins, etc., and searching through rubble and your life, and you find your handwritten notes. God be praised, your story is very inspirational. And I think a good help to a lot of people who are going through mm-hmm. whatever in their life, many who have maybe lost things in fires. The book is obviously a worthwhile endeavor. Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. You're sort of reworking the book to be reissued at this point, correct?
Yes.
All right. What is the timeline now for the latest edition of Immodesty, Satan's Virtue?
We're looking at a release date of October the 13th, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. At this point, the work has been so huge.
Immodesty, Satan's Virtue is a humongous subject to undertake. I mean, when you think about immodesty, people think of immodesty, and I do too. Okay, ladies in dresses. That's the beginning. That's a little, that maybe even just pick up in the middle somewhere. From our thoughts to our words to our actions, how do you organize all of that into a book?
I think the biggest thing is trying to take that now and trying to make it for basically a new set of readers, so that people maybe are more revived. Because the interesting thing that has happened, my book came out in 2001. There were no other modesty books on the market for Catholics at the time. There was a small booklet at the time called Immodest Dress that came out by Louise Martin. Now, Catholics should be leading the way with this issue.
Right.
We should be leading the way. The subject is so debated.
When you really dive into the subject of modesty, like Mike said, it's so much deeper than that.
My book is about modesty and dress. It also includes modesty for men, It also includes modesty and what else it includes. So custody of the eyes, custody of the tongue, everything. And then it included all the documents. So, the Rome's decrees, which was not in there actually, which is going to be in the next issue. But the Cardinal Siri documents, all the documents were printed in full in the back. I made it almost like a textbook. And then in the back, I actually gave directions on how to make your first skirt. I wanted to make it something that people would say, wow, I've got to do this. I'm going to make a skirt. Because the biggest thing I hear from people is, well, I can't do that. And I still hear that today. Right. So when I wrote this, it was really a book of the heart. And it still is. It really is. And looking at the book again, I'm trying to keep the focus. This is a 140-page book. So it was a good-sized paperback. The more I look at it, I think the contents of this is really for Catholic mothers. It really is, because ultimately Catholic mothers, we have a tremendous power in our modesty. Tremendous.
Yes, we do.
Because if we do not have modesty correct, we are affecting our husband and we are affecting our children.
Yes.
And so having it correct, this book, I think, was really always meant for mothers. And I think I was trying to market it for everyone. Yeah. And I mean, I know teenagers have written that loved it, and, all kinds of other people have read it. The one thing about my book is that it is modest. Now, that sounds like a real weird one, but the biggest problem since my book has come out is people not understanding what really modesty is. There is such a slew of conversation out there that you have this whole new era of chastity speakers, whatever, trying to remove the religion from, the event. And it is filled with immodesty. And the best comment that I got from somebody, a man, after he read my book years and years ago, was that your book was modest, meaning I was talking about a subject that for many men could be not comfortable to hear or read.
Scandalized.
He thanked me because my book was not an occasion of sin for him to read like another book that he had read. And that is the whole point of my book.
So at this point, are you on target for October 13th?
I think only Our Lady knows, really. That is, I've told her, you really have to help me finish this because I really can't do it on my own. It's just such a huge project.
We understand that.
Yeah. And what about your resources now because you're still sort of working kind of on a shoestring, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The biggest thing was once I really got into it, I realized, oh my goodness, all of my footnotes, because some of my footnotes were not done properly only because I wasn't a writer. I had people read it for me and, clean it up 7 different times, but I was not a writer, like doing proper footnotes. So some of them, I didn't have like the complete footnote. I didn't have the page number or the publisher or whatever. So I've had to repurchase all of the documents that I've used, and a lot of those were out of print. Some of them you can't even get them anymore.
The house where you are now, and your workspace now, and the work you're doing now, from your computer all the way down to your recovered things and the notes on the wall behind you and things like that, have you had any of that blessed?
Not yet.
Yeah, you might want to think about
that. We have holy water. And when I first started working on this, one of my readers actually wrote and said, I'm putting this under, I have it written on my manuscript, but I'm putting this under protection of St. Michael for you. She wrote to me. And I thought, oh, thank you, because that's what I need. So that's going to be in my new introduction, is something to St. Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But interestingly enough, some people have been sending us religious things like sacramentals, because we lost everything. Oh. But somebody sent us, and I don't have it up here, but somebody sent us this little icon, and I didn't know what it was, but it's a little tiny icon of Our Lady. And we're not really into like Eastern Rite stuff. It's just, because we're Roman Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Anyway, so I thought it was very interesting, but I had an Eastern Rite friend And she told me what it was. And so I do have it somewhere in my computer, but it's something called, what is it? Pamela Sumela or something. I'd have to look it up again. Somebody might know. But she looked it up and she basically, it's an icon from like the 3rd century where Our Lady's icon was found in a monastery that never burned.
Good one.
And I thought, wow, it's like, you know, this is what you can find what you need and not what you want, right? So God has been sending me everything I need to protect. And I think to myself as well, okay, you know, if this was really a, you know, a spiritual thing that we lost our house, I think, well, you know, the devil tried, let's assume this, okay? So the devil tried to destroy our work, destroy our publishing press, destroy my book. But God saved my book and God saved us, and he allowed that to be destroyed because it's not needed, right? So why would I be concerned about my work today? Because if God saved us then, he will simply save my work now, right? Because ultimately he's going to get the glory for this book to be out. And so what am I worried about?
Exactly.
It's interesting.
I love that.
I like that a lot. We're talking with Rita Davidson. Her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. You may have this book. You may have it in your own library at home. It may be in your chapel's bookstore.
Right.
Somewhere. But we've followed along with the fire and the burning. And now they're trying to salvage and reissue Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. When the book is finished, which is coming up here soon, mm-hmm. hopefully, God willing, and out for purchase, how big of a book will this end up being compared to the first time?
I think I'm adding. The book was originally 140 pages. I would like to add, if I can, an index. It was roughly 138 pages. But again, this really is written for mothers because when I first wrote this, all of my language and everything was for mothers. And so I don't really think this is just a generic book, even though it should be like a handbook. Mm-hmm. My thoughts have been percolating. I've been praying whether this will be sort of like the main handbook. And then I may eventually write accompanying books for, you know, different segments. Like I think this same book should be written, for instance, for priests. Many priests are afraid to, you know, you can't be at the pulpit and then bring up a hot potato topic, right? I mean, priests are really in a very precarious position because they're there to save souls.
Right. In our parish, I think what our priest does is if he sees anything like that, he actually takes them aside and talks to them about that privately.
Rita Davidson with littleflowerfamilypress.com is the website. Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, the book. We'll continue to pray for you, obviously.
The plan for this book, isn't it to have a pre-launch on the October 13th?
Yes, that's the plan, is to open it up at that point.
And what is pre-launch?
Basically, it would be open for people to start purchasing, you know, for later shipment date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do they already know then if they're going to pre-order, is there going to be a date when it's supposed to be out? Is that how that works? Or is it just a pre-order and you're just waiting?
I wanted to have it out for October 13th. And what I would like to do is have it available with some special bonuses so that when people order it, mm-hmm. So I'm not positive what those bonuses are going to be.
Okay.
But I'll probably have, there's a couple of them that I'm sort of thinking on what they will be. So the plan is for the opening of it on the 13th. I'm hoping that it will not go so long. In the back of my head, December 8th came out as a shipping date. I really would not want to stretch it that long, but why did that date pop in my head? I don't know. December 8th, of course, is Our Lady, right?
Yeah,
it is.
So she's really guiding this. Yeah, she's really guiding this. And so I'm sort of leaving it in her hands because ultimately this topic is literally the battleground where a person really begins their spiritual life. Because if they rebel against modesty, now they're going to rebel against tradition. Modesty is a part of humility. And if you cannot accept it, you are stunted in your spiritual life. Our Lady of Fatima said, the most souls that fall to hell are from sins of the flesh. Modesty has gone right down the tubes, even in Catholic circles. You know, you have girls that are putting on skirts for Mass and then running out and throwing on pants and shorts or short shorts after Mass. They're living a hypocritical life. They do not understand that modesty is like all the way through. It's not just Sunday. It's all the way through. Right. And I think the devil is just mixing everybody up as badly as he can.
Right. And I will even say,
yes, he is.
You see the fashion trend now. I see women every day just walking down the street in long skirts. And you think, at first you think, well, there, now see, finally, the people are coming around. But a long skirt doesn't necessarily mean modesty, especially some of the long skirts are very form-fitting, very...
Yeah, they can be.
Yes, the very nice maxi trend that we have today, what they call maxi skirts. Okay. You know, everyone thinks, oh, I can throw those on while they're knit and they're form-fitting. And people don't realize, well, I have, you know, I'm a size, whatever, 18. And so I bought a size 18. They're not using common sense, right? That these fabrics are knit. So they're made to be snug. But we're Catholic. You know, they're not made to be this snug. We're not supposed to. So anyway, so it's little things like that that people don't really realize. And this is what people just don't get. And then they give up. That's the problem, is they try it and they give up because it doesn't work. Oh, this not for me. This is impossible. Well, God did not make modesty impossible.
Immodesty, Satan's virtue. We're, God willing, the relaunch here on the 13th, which is only just a week away.
Well, it's a pre-launch.
The pre-launch. It's a pre-launch. The pre-launch. Rita Davidson from littleflowerfamilypress.com. The book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. God willing, this book hits the shelves very, very soon, and we're looking forward to it. And dare I say, if you can get it out on time, it's a Christmas gift.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Hey.
Yes. But they can pre-order, though.
True.
Right.
You can pre-order. Rita, thank you so much for sharing your story, the miracles around that story. I think it's obvious that this is, from a layperson who knows almost nothing, I just know how to sit in front of a microphone, and that's about it. From my standpoint, it seems like just from your story and all the challenges you've had, the crosses you've had to carry, this is a work God wants. This is a work that God wants done. And you're in our prayers, and thank you, and keep us up to date, okay?
I will, definitely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Whew. Isn't that a story?
It's something, isn't it?
Ugh.
littleflowerfamilypress.com is the website. So,
yes,
we will
go check it out.
Yep. All right, we're going to take this break and we're going to come back and wrap up your Monday morning with you, Mike and Lisa Austin, here at Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com, where we are
living our faith.
And we're back. Your morning tradition, Mike and Lisa Austin here. Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com, where we are
living our faith.
We're wrapping up your Monday, October the 5th, and again, our thanks to Rita Davidson for her part. And we were talking about things coming up this week. Of course, the Battle of Lepanto, the anniversary is on the Wednesday, isn't it?
That's Wednesday, what you told.
Yeah. The 7th. All right. And this Friday begins the Angelus Conference, if you are planning to go. And we had a couple of people say, well, oh, is that where you guys are going to be going? And no.
No, we have something different.
Yeah, we have like a business trip planned, and then it crashed right into the Angelus Conference. Ordinarily, we would totally plan to be at the Angelus Conference. And in fact,
yes,
I would like to have a booth there next year where we can meet folks and just, you know, chat and maybe broadcast from, if they allow it.
Oh, that would be great.
So that's that. Angelus Press Conference this Friday. And the Starkenberg Pilgrimage is coming up.
On the 15th, I believe.
10 days from now. Yes, on the 15th through the 18th. And the Starkenberg Pilgrimage, everybody knows about it, I'm assuming. But maybe I shouldn't assume that. It's 3 days. It's about 40 miles to Our Lady of Sorrows. And there's a great history that Father Novak had written back in 2004?
I think so.
2004?
That's what's coming to my head.
On the history of the Shrine of Our Lady of Sorrows
mm-hmm.
in Starkenburg, Missouri. People from, I don't know how many states, they said one year there was like 20 states represented. 1,000 pilgrims walking for 3 days. Now, you can do 1 day as well. And you can go to the Angelus Press website, I think, and still sign up. I don't know what the fee is. I think there is a fee, though, because it covers, you know.
Yeah, there is a pre-registration.
It covers food and things like that. Mm-hmm. All the registrations on these pilgrimages, no one's making money. It's to pay for the expenses.
Right, exactly. Right.
But a pilgrimage is, in fact, I wrote this down. I found this quote. This is awesome. It says, a pilgrimage is a microcosm of Catholic life. Of Catholic life. We walk towards God, helping one another, and praying for the grace of perseverance.
I like that.
That's pretty beautiful.
It is.
Having been on a couple, one longer than the other, and in a shorter pilgrimage in that, it's an experience you can't describe. From the blessing of the script, when you get the script, every pilgrimage has a script. And by that, I mean it's a like Santiago, I think, is the one that has the shell.
Mm-hmm.
The one we did to Holy Hill, it was a blue bandana. And I think Starkenberg's is a white handkerchief, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, they bless the script, and you have that. And then you start off, and you just start walking. And at first, when I first went on my first pilgrimage,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, this is cool. It's a little walk in the woods. This is really beautiful. And it is beautiful scenery. But very quickly, you realize that's sort of a bonus. That's not the point. Which, I mean, I knew. But what I'm saying is when you're right in it, and those of you who have been on pilgrimages, you understand that it's, you know, from the moment of silence and then the prayers and the looking into other pilgrims' faces and seeing the resolution. And when you're starting to fade a little bit, having another pilgrim, I'll never forget that, when Brother Giuseppe came up and said, Coraggio.
Yeah.
He would come up to me.
I know.
And put his hand on my shoulder, and he'd go, Coraggio. Courage.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And if...
That was a special one.
It really was.
For many of you guys.
And some people, Father Mackin, we found a video of, I think it was last year's pilgrimage.
No, it was like 3 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he talks about bringing the boys. Which boys is he talking about?
I'm not sure.
But Father Mackin, of course, of the Midwest Boys Camp. Those
it
of you
wasn't
who don't know Father
then,
Mackin,
though.
But no, because that would be way after.
Mm-hmm.
Or this would have been. But anyway, he talks about bringing the boys, and people on pilgrimages sometimes bring things that they carry. Not their own script, but for instance, I carried a rock one time, and it's representative of...
Right. Didn't Father Asher give you that idea or something like that?
He may have. Mm-hmm. He may have. Yep. And you just dump it off. This video, and you can find it. Look it up. I think maybe the Angelus Press website has it. The boys carrying and taking turns carrying an 80-pound cross.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
It's beautiful. In fact, I think we have... Let me play the audio.
We brought 53 boys.
53.
And we did the three-day version. The camaraderie among the boys. It's like anything. We teach our boys, we teach our youth to love their faith. But unless they see it being resembled among their colleagues and friends, they're not going to feel like they're getting much out of it. So anyways, we certainly are pushing them to bring the camaraderie. And I definitely saw that in my group on this trip.
Father Mackin is awesome.
He is.
And so the Starkenburg pilgrimage, we're hoping to get someone on, one of the coordinators for the pilgrimage, perhaps mm-hmm. early in next week. And I know we said next week's going to be a lot of best ofs, but we are going to be recording some shows maybe on the road and things like that. And we're trying to get an interview with one of the coordinators for the Starkenburg pilgrimage. Here's another great quote.
What?
This is Father McMahon from that same video. This might be Father Rostand. Now, I'll play the clip and then we'll see.
To really take that life that God has given us in a serious way, in a way where every day that God gives us is really given back to Him by our faithfulness to His commandments, by our faithfulness to our duties of state, by returning to our homes after this pilgrimage and having a heart which is really prepared to love God above all things.
I love that.
That's what a pilgrimage does.
Right, right.
Living our faith. That's
Living
what we say
our,
here.
That's
every
right.
day. How many times a day do we say it?
A lot. But this is exactly why we wanted to do this, to get all of this good stuff out, mm-hmm. to let everybody know, the world know, this is what we need to do. And hopefully start some kind of our own little crusade here with the pilgrimages and have everybody... You should pick a pilgrimage, one or two, every year. Every year, make it a plan in your family's lives to go and do this for reparation of the sins of the world, for yourself, for your family, for family members in the past and the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what it's about.
A public showing of your faith.
Yeah.
And you see those banners flying when they walk.
Right.
And it gives you courage. Sometimes you get complacent, you know, we get through our everyday lives and we get complacent. Yeah, I'm a traditional Catholic. And it seems weird, but it does get comfortable to say the words traditional Catholic.
Yes, you can get comfortable with that, but we really have to start living it.
But to say traditional Catholic, we are Catholic. And once the faith all comes around and comes together, and we no longer have to have that word traditional in front of our title of who we are.
Oh, yeah. I see where you're going.
Then we all need to find things like these pilgrimages and show our traditional Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And every place that from Holy Hill to you hear stories about it at the Vatican of traditional Catholics showing that faith, that which the overwhelming world out there has lost.
Right.
Their jaws drop and they go, that is so beautiful. I've never seen anything like that. It is so beautiful.
And the fact is they haven't. You know, a lot of them haven't.
Right.
So that's why we talk about this. We put videos up. We do lots of different things and we actually do the pilgrimage ourselves to show everybody this is what we're supposed to do.
The Starkenberg Pilgrimage on October the 15th. I'm pretty sure 10 days out you can still get your registration in.
Right. And you're also supposed to mention the meal that you have to reserve.
Oh, you need to reserve a meal.
You do need to reserve the
meal.
Well,
if you want to eat.
Of course.
It's just 3 days.
And it's a prepay thing.
All right. Unless you're carrying, you know, peanut butter and jelly in your pockets.
Yeah.
Which would be really uncomfortable on a pilgrimage.
Or granola.
Let me just say that. A big pocket full of granola. Hey, I got raisins and granola. Anybody want some? No, it's in your pocket. Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, no, you need to register. So anyway, that's going to do it for us. Again, our thanks to Rita Davidson for being a part of our show today.
Mm-hmm.
And to you for tuning in each and every day. Mike and Lisa Austin, we are now going to be on a little trip, but we're going to be putting these shows on every day. And
there might be some, what do you call them, Mike?
Might be some best of stuff.
Right.
Might be some brand new stuff. I'm bringing the studio with me on the road, so.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what we're going to end up with. Saint of the Day will be here every day, and we'll be here every day, and so should you. Thank you very much for tuning in. Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin on your morning tradition where we are
living our faith.